أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والفجر وليال العشر والشفع والوتر والليل إذا يسر هل في ذلك قسم لذي حجر. وقال الله تعالى: والذين تبوأوا الدار والإيمان من قبلهم يحبون من هاجر إليهم ولا يجدون في صدورهم حاجة مما أوتوا ويؤثرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة ومن يوق شح نفسه فأولئك هم المفلحون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, all praise is due to our Creator, our Cherisher, our Nourisher and our Sustainer. We bear witness there's none worthy of worship but Allah. We bear witness we believe in all the prophets who came in the great line of divine. And we bear witness that Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa ashabihi wa sallam, is the final of all the emissaries of Allah. The spirit of ulama, huffaz, teachers, principals, elders, brothers and sisters, respected youth, I greet you with the Islamic universal greeting of peace. May the peace, the mercy and the blessings of Allah be upon each and everyone on this auspicious time of Jum'ah, in the special week of the year, in this beautiful house of Allah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. We are indeed privileged to experience once again a special time of the year. What we call the mausam of Hajj or the season of Hajj. And we are in the first 10 days of the month of Zulhijjah, the 12th month of the Islamic lunar calendar. And these days indeed are the most sacred of days of the year. And according to many scholars, the reference to it in the Quran is وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرِ وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ. Allah makes reference to the 10 nights and 10 days, and majority of scholars believe it's reference to these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. That is further corroborated by a statement of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam occurring in Sahih al-Bukhari and in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, where Rasulullah said, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامِ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحِ فِيهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ هَذِي الْأَيَّامِ يَعْنِي أَيَّامِ الْعَشْرِ. These are the days, according to Sahih al-Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are no days which righteous deeds are more beloved to Allah. Righteous deeds are always appreciated. Righteous deeds are always rewarded. Righteous deeds are always the best thing to do. But there are no days in which these righteous deeds are more beloved to Allah than these first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And today, of course, we are on the 7th of those 10 days. Another hadith documented in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, the Rasul said, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أَعْظَمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَلَا أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ الْعَمَلِ فِيهِمْ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْعَشْرِ فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِنَّ مِنَ التَّهْلِيلِ وَالتَّكْبِيرِ وَالتَّحْمِيدِ. أو كما قال, there are no days grander in the estimation of Allah or more beloved for Allah in which to do good deeds than these 10 days. So increase in that period تَهْلِيل and تَكْبِيرَ and تَحْمِيد, meaning saying لا إله إلا الله, Allah Akbar, Alhamdulillah. By the way, though we read takbir particularly on the days of Eid, scholars are in agreement you can read takbir for all the days, by the way. It doesn't mean you should all read now takbir after Salah, but if you want to, you can do it. So, though we do it on the days of Eid, but it can in fact be done throughout the day, even from these days, and Allah knows best. Now, these are the days leading up to Yawmi Arafah, which is on Friday, and to the Ayyamu Tashriq, the days in which the pilgrims perform the pilgrimage and in which we sacrifice and celebrate the Eid. Sunday in particular is the day of Wukuf or Wukufi Arafah. It is the grandest day in the Islamic calendar. And as the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in an authentic tradition, Al-Hajju Arafah. Arafah is the Hajj, or being on Arafah is the Hajj, is the central part, is the D-Day of Hajj. On that day where millions of pilgrims gather from every part of the world in one plain, in an open plain near Mecca. A unique place in that, it becomes an international town, an international city, an international convention. The day before there's nobody there, and the day after that there's nobody there. Within an empty space, all people come together in the same uniform, saying the same thing, with the same shahada, binding themselves to the same tawheed, following the same prophet, all part of one brotherhood and sisterhood. Where everyone is considered equal. No discrimination on the basis of race, nor of gender, nor of age, nor of color, nor of caste, nor of social status. Arafah is also said to have been the place where Adam and Hawa, Adam and Eve, peace be upon them, reunited on earth, and Allah knows best. So these are the days of Hajj. That Hajj which is a symbolic demonstration of Muslim unity and harmony, of equality and humility. It is the perpetuation of the legacy of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, who was the first to announce the pilgrimage. وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرِ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ. Announce the Hajj, O Ibrahim, Allah said, and he announced it, and people will come from every part of the world by every means of transport to be able to witness the benefit. And now more people from more parts of the world by more means of transport are coming to the call of Abraham over 3,000 years ago. At the center of this Hajj, the Hajj is Hajj al-Bayt, it is to the house of Allah. One of the central portions of the Hajj is Mecca itself. And Mecca is important, besides being the birthplace of the Prophet and the birthplace of revelation, it's also the place of the Kaaba. And the Kaaba, the word Kaaba, by the way, in Arabic means a cube. And as you know, a cube has six sides. The top and the bottom and the four sides. And the six sides of the cube encompasses all directions. And simultaneously, the sum of that symbolizes no direction at all. Though there are so many sides to it, it doesn't face any particular direction. I'm facing you, this is my direction. You are facing this way, this is your direction right now. The Kaaba, it has six sides, but no particular direction. If you say which way does the Kaaba face, it doesn't face any way. It faces all ways also, but no way also. And that place which has no specific direction has become the center of direction for all people to pray. And therefore symbolic of the unicity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, representing the absolute oneness of Allah. And that is why, as I like to remind people, they say the Kaaba symbolizes the oneness of Allah. And we who go around the Kaaba are forming circles like zeros. And you know, you have one and a zero next to it, makes it 10. You put another zero, it's 100. You add six zeros, it becomes a million. And if you remove the one, all you have is zeros. And it's symbolic of the Kaaba, of the oneness of Allah. And therefore, it becomes a symbol of importance, because wherever we are, whichever mazhab we follow, whatever school of thought we are, we face the same Qibla, praying the same prayer from the same Quran in the same language, following the same Prophet. That's why Allama Iqbal said in one of his poems, Manfaat ek hai is qom ki nuksani bhi ek hi sabka nabi deen bhi iman bhi ek haram paak bhi Allah bhi Quran bhi ek kya bari baat thi hoti jo musalman bhi ek. What harms the Muslim community globally harms all of us. What benefits the Muslim community benefits all of us. We have one Allah, one Quran, one final messenger, one Kaaba, one Qibla. Everything is one. What a pity that we are so often divided. Towards the west of the Kaaba, because the Kaaba is a cube shaped, but it's more squarish now than rectangular. Actually, it was rectangular before. And that's why when we make the tawaf, we don't make tawaf only around the Kaaba, we make tawaf around the Kaaba and the skirt of what they call the Hijr Ismail or the skirt of Hajar. So there is a semicircular short wall, which if you pray in that space, it's preferable, it's highly recommended. But you make tawaf, you make tawaf around the entire Kaaba as well as the skirt of Hajar, the Hijr Ismail. It's the area where Sayyidina Ismail, the son of Ibrahim, the forefather of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was raised. And her grave is in the environments of that area. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is almighty, we know. And He is great and glorious in His divinity, free of all want, self-sufficient. He needs no one and He needs nothing, though everything is in want of Him. Nevertheless, among all the countless creation of Allah, He has chosen one among humankind as the special among all of them. From among all of humanity, He has chosen a woman. From among all the women, He chose a black woman. From all among all the black women, He chose a slave woman, a black maid. This seemingly, because we're still living in an age of racism, we're still living in an age of chauvinism, we're still living in an age of caste and class consciousness. The seemingly weakest and most vulnerable and most discriminated, even today, of His creatures, He has given a special place of dignity next to His own home. That is a topic all of its own. Some of the essential rights of the pilgrims that the Hajjis do are memories of the Nubian Hajar and husband Ibrahim. Ibrahim and his family are the symbol of Allah consciousness. Hajar itself, by the way, tradition ascribes two possible reasons for her name. One is it that she was a female immigrant, hence a muhajira. The other is because she was naturally inclined to distance herself from evil. You know, as the Rasul said, Al-Muhajiru man hajara ma nahiya Allahu an. A muhajir is one who doesn't only move from home to home or from place to place, but who moves away from evil towards goodness. You can stay at one place and still be a muhajir. And Hajira was like that. And therefore the Rasul said, the ideal immigrant, the ideal migrant is Hajar, because Hijra is what Hajar did. Hajara Hajar, as the Rasul said. And the lesson for all of us is embodied in the farewell sermon that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam conveyed to us at the Khutbatul Wida', at the farewell pilgrimage, when he said, Ala ukhbirukum bil mu'min. Shall I inform you about what a mu'min is? Man aminahu an-nas ala amwalihim wa anfusihim. A mu'min is that person from whom humanity finds safety regarding their lives and their property. Wal muslimu man salima an-nas min lisanihi wa yadihi. A Muslim is one from whose words and deeds other Muslims are safe. Wal mujahidu man jahada nafsahu fi ta'atillah. A mujahid is one who strives and struggles. A warrior is one who fights the battle of the self in obedience to Allah. وَالْمُهَاجِرُ مَنْ هَجَرَ الْخَطَايَا وَالْذُنُوبِ. And a muhajir, a migrant, is one who moves away from sin and wrongfulness. Talking about Hajira, talking about Hijra, over the past 2 years, hundreds of thousands of refugees from Muslim countries, from the Middle East, have entered the European Union and some other parts of the world. The biggest refugee crisis since World War II, and one of the biggest in the history of humanity. People of our faith, searching for sanctuary from war-torn and broken lives. Victims they are not criminals. They have survived barrel bombs and landmines. They have survived the brutality of their own corrupt governments and the mercilessness of the mercenaries who kill in the name of Islam. They have seen their homes turn into dust and the cities turn to rubble. And we are witnessing this still today. They have witnessed atrocities that most of us cannot even imagine. They have buried their fathers and mothers, their brothers and sisters, their sons and their daughters, their grandparents and their grandchildren. They are also muhajirin. Have we forgotten, besides the hijrah of Hajar, have we forgotten that the first Muslims escaped persecution in Mecca? The followers of Rasulullah, and found refuge in Africa, by the way, in Abyssinia, the land of Hajar. Have you forgotten that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself and his family and followers made hijrah, finding refuge in Yathrib in Medina? So at this time, when millions of Muslims are gathering in and around the sacred city of Mecca, coming from every corner of the globe to perform the manasik of the Hajj, the sacred rituals and rites of the Hajj, and many members from our community are there. And all these pilgrims are pulled away from the familiar. They left their homes, moving from here to Medina, Medina to Mecca, experiencing somewhat dislocation and migration. All these, and they go to Arafah, inshallah, on Sunday, the place where Adam and Hawa are supposed to have met, symbolizing that all pilgrims come back to their common origin, irrespective of their social division or their nationality. All these make hijrah, migration of Hajar to Mecca, the Muslims to Abyssinia, the Prophet to Medina, all symbolize the movement of Muslims from land of oppression to places of safety and security. So how can we reflect on the Hajj and not remember and not be reminded of the plight of the refugees? The pilgrims go in the most basic form of clothing from place to place. When they are on Hajj, from tomorrow onwards, they leave all their fancy clothing. They must go into Ihram. And they're in Ihram with the same clothing. They may have worn all the fancy clothes, lived in fancy hotels up till today, up till tonight. Tomorrow, they're all the same. They are forced to be the same. Some were in Medina, some were in Mecca, some were in Jeddah shopping. Tomorrow, for the next 5 days, the Ayyamul Hajj, they are in basic form of clothing. Having removed the original, or the normal clothing, putting on the ihram, removing off your old self, removing off your arrogance, removing off your haughtiness, removing your racism, your chauvinism. And when you wear the ihram, you've buried your old self. Only if you truly do that, then can you come back as a newborn baby. As the Rasul said, "Man hajja wa lam yarfuth wa lam yafsuq, raja'aka yawmi waladathu ummuhu." Whoever performs hajj, duly perform hajj, without any impropriety, comes back like the day his mother or her mother gave birth. So Mecca to Mina, Mina to Arafah, Arafah to Muzdalifah, Muzdalifah to Mina, Mina to Mecca, all movements in 5 days. No belongings, living in a tent, unstitched clothing. All of this reminds us of the refugees. The unfortunate part is, and that's why I always say, I love to go to Hujjaj when they leave. Though it's more barakah when they come back, I don't always feel so keen. Because when people come back, they talk about the chandeliers, and the Kaaba's no sukhrut khamak, and the marble da, and the marble da. And I say, what are you talking about? And of course, every year the people go for Hajj, the year they go, that's the biggest Hajj, by the way. It's always about that. What have you found? How much of Ismail did you imbibe? You ran the running of Hajar between Safa and Marwa. Did you imbibe any of those values? Have you removed your racism? Do you love your brothers more? Do you recognize now, you've seen Muslims from all over the world praying differently, in different ways, with different madaib. They are still my brothers. I differ with them maybe, but they're still my brothers and sisters. Have you come back with that mentality? Do you speak about that? Or do you say how nice the breakfast was in Medina at Movenpick? As for the refugees that we see, their pain is indeed our shame. The refugee issue has to be resolved. It's almost off the news now, forgotten. We have people here in the masjid, students who are from the refugee communities. You see, the worst disease of this day and age is that of people being uncared for, people feeling unloved. There's so much hurt in this world, despite so much capacity for love. In a world where there's so much hurt, so much pain, so much loneliness, so much injustice, what we need is brotherhood among ourselves at least, and the quality of compassion. As Allama Iqbal said, "Hawas ne tukre tukre kar diya hai noa insaan ko, ukhuwat ka baya ho ja, muhabbat ka zuba ho ja." He said, selfish self-interest and greed and lust for power has torn humankind apart. Manifest the evidence of brotherhood, O believers, and become the voice of love and compassion. The question for each one of us, as the Hujjaj entering the Ayyamul Hajj, and we here are fast, we pray or give charity, which we are recommended to do more in these days than any other time of the year, The question is, what is my role in a troubled world? How do I contribute? How conscious am I of my larger global responsibility and to those around me? I'm going to sacrifice some of us, or we're going to witness sacrificing. That sacrifice by itself doesn't count. لَيَّنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا. Not the flesh or the blood or how many you slaughter. لَيَّنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا. Neither the blood nor the meat reaches Allah. وَلَاكِي يَنَالُهُ تَقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. But it's your God consciousness, your sincerity that reaches Allah. So we say, Allah, may Allah accept the hajj of all those who are troubled for pilgrimage. And may those among us who have not performed the pilgrimage be granted the honor, the privilege, and the opportunity, inshallah, to perform the Hajj. May we all be showered with the blessings of these significant days of Hajj. We've already seen 7 days. We are in the 7th day. Yawm Arafah is on Sunday. And thank God everyone is having Eid on the same day. And we have Arafah on the day of Arafah. And we all, inshallah, are recommended to fast. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to some reports, fasted, and of course, recommended people to fast. And inshallah, we celebrate the Eid thereafter. May Allah bring our hearts together, our minds together, and may the concern of one be the care of the other. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.